Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Kenneth Allen, and good to be with you and all of our listeners.
Amen. And I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that has kept us on the air for over 40 years. Out on our webpage, this afternoon, we did update it. We've got Given Tuesday is going to roll around here in a couple of weeks, December 3rd. And we put a link on the homepage, and you can click on that, and it'll take you to the donate page. So you can donate anytime you want, but we'll be talking more about it as we get closer to Giving Tuesday. Again, that's Tuesday, December the 3rd. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, which is Our House Ministries, all spelled out, ourhouseministries.org. Also invite you to subscribe to my Substack account, notsaintsyet.substack.com. Publish at least one article with the highlights of the radio shows each week, and usually supplement that with a couple of others. And I did manage to put a couple up this week. So it's notsaintsyet.substack.com, and click on the subscribe button. It's free. If you want to support me financially, that's great, but you don't need to. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, beginning with 8:30 daily mass, and usually closes around 4:30. Talbot Tuesdays, we have Holy Hour from 3 to 4, with adoration, and then at 4 o'clock, Father Foley and those that gather, we pray the Matt Talbot Novena prayers and have benediction. On Thursdays, before the shrine closes, we pray a rosary at 4 o'clock. All are more than welcome to join us. If you're going to come down, get in touch with Father and or I, and we can make arrangements to meet you in church. Speaking of Matt Talbot, plans are moving pretty quickly now on our Matt Talbot film. I encourage you to visit matttalbotfilm.com and you'll get more information about the project. We may be headed to Ireland in December to start the filming. We're nailing down a couple more things, and then we should be set to go, but we still need financial support for that as well. Hopefully in time for Matt Talbot's 100th anniversary of his passing, which will be June 7th, 2025. There will also be a pilgrimage to Ireland that will be June 1st to June 9th. Leave on a Sunday night, and we'll get back the following Monday, start in Knock, Ireland, and make our way east, and spend the weekend in Dublin, where there will be a number of activities around the life of Matt Talbot. I think that's it in the way of announcements. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximine Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Blessed Carlos Acutis.
Pray for us.
St. Albert the Great.
Pray for us.
St. Gertrude.
Pray for us.
St. Elizabeth the Hungry.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Maybe you can mention that good news, kind of.
Yeah.
Blessed Carlos Acutis.
Yeah, you mentioned the pray for us, and we got word today that during the papal audience at the end of it this morning, Pope Francis announced that he will be canonizing Carlo Acutis on Sunday, April the 27th, which is a jubilee for adolescents in addition to being Divine Mercy Sunday. So I'm sure our friends out at Malvern, Mary B. and Michael and others, probably already on the phone trying to make arrangements for hotels and flights and what have you. It's going to be, you know, a great day in Rome, but an even greater day, I think, for those that have put all the effort in, especially our friend Mary B. with the Carlo Acutis Shrine out at the Malvern Retreat House. So, again, that'll be Sunday, April the 27th, 2025. We'll see the canonization of Carlo Acutis. And I also want to mention, in light of that, at 5 o'clock, in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to have two guests. Susan Tassone, the Purgatory Lady, will be joining me at 5:30. But at 5 o'clock, I've got Jim Valoy coming on, and he made me aware of a young girl, Charlene Marie Richard, from Cajun country down in Louisiana, and really similar father in that she died when she was 12 years old, only 2 weeks after being diagnosed with a leukemia, a different form of leukemia than what Carlo Acutis had. But apparently she's had a couple miracles through her intercession. And as soon as Jim Valoy told me about her, I kind of saw this connection between her and Carlo. It's pretty cool.
You know, it's amazing, like God or God, how things fall into place, Ken.
Yep.
That with the Easter, you know, the Divine Mercy, and how John Paul II, you know, died there, you know, on the vigil of Divine Mercy, and certainly putting in the chaplet of Divine Mercy all the new luminous mysteries. But the God or God was like the connection with Blessed Carlos Acutis with John Paul II was so much for the young. And then when the cross came from St. Charles Seminary and was delivered to St. Joseph's in the Hills, it was the day that Mary B. got the call that the miracle had happened, the second miracle to be able to canonize Carlos Acutis. So, you know, all these little connections, you know, so powerful how God works it all out. It's all his plan, all his agenda. Everything seems to really fall into place according to his will. And of course we got the cross up on Saturday. That was beautiful.
Yep.
So a lot of things are happening there at St. Joseph's in the Hills. We got Carlos Acutis Shrine. We got the papal cross of John Paul II. We're going to have the shrine for Venerable Matt Talbot, which Sean Mooney putting together there. We have the Calix unit there once a month. We also have St. Maximilian Kolbe Village once a month. It's just that people are really flocking there at Malvern, at the retreat house. It's like, it's a new Garden of Eden. It's heaven's gravity. It's drawing all people, young, old, middle, professionals, the recovering people, addicts. It's all drawing us right there to the Lord. And we see so many beautiful blessings that come out of there, St. Joseph's in the Hills. So we got four new saints in Malvern there. And the four new saints besides Mary and Joseph would be Carlos Acutis and John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe and Venerable Matt Talbot, the saints of Malvern, Ken.
Amen. Speaking of Maximilian Kolbe, just those that get my posts on Substack know, but just to let folks know, there's been a lot of promotion of Martin Scorsese's series on the saints. You have to pay for it. It's on the Fox Nation channel, and I plunked down my money on Sunday, and I watched the first episode on Monday night when I had some time on Joan of Arc. It was pretty well done, but unfortunately, as soon as it's over, there's a group of people that show up on the screen that have a conversation. And in addition to Martin Scorsese, it's Father James Martin, who's got some controversy around him, and then another woman who claims to be Catholic but pro-abortion. So just you know, be warned. You can, people can decide for themselves whether or not they want to pay and watch it. But I know, you know, a few of the people that I talked to, when they got that information, they had had interest in it. But we're going to look for better sources in order to learn about the saints. So just forewarned. All right, 1 hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. If you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially once your calls, as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And we need your phone calls in order to make that happen. We've got quite a few saints in the calendar for this week. On Sunday the 17th, it was St. Elizabeth of Hungary, religious, and also a patron for our Third Order Franciscan friends. On Monday the 18th, there was the dedication of the Basilicas of Saints Peter and Paul. And then here in the United States, we also celebrate St. Rose Philippine Duchesne, Virgin. Tomorrow, the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. On Friday the 22nd, St. Cecilia, Virgin and Martyr. And then we've got three on Saturday the 23rd, St. Clement I, Pope and Martyr, St. Columban, who is an abbot. And then again here in the United States, it's Blessed Miguel Augustine Pro, priest and martyr. So we're not going to talk about any of those saints today. We're going to go back to last week, and we are going to start with St. Albert the Great, whose feast day we celebrate on the 15th of November. He was born in the year 1206, died in on November the 15th in the year 1280, and a pretty bright guy. He was a Dominican, and they call him the master of Thomas Aquinas. He attempted to understand Aristotle's writings and then put together a climate where Thomas Aquinas developed a synthesis of Greek wisdom and Christian theology. But Albert, you know, gets recognition himself because of all the work that he did, especially as a scholar. He was the oldest son of a powerful and wealthy German lord, and was educated in the liberal arts. Like a lot of the saints, it seems like we mention this all the time. Father, his family was opposed, but he went ahead and entered the Dominican novitiate. He would then spend 20 years writing out the compendium of all knowledge, and it included natural science, logic, rhetoric, mathematics, astronomy, ethics, economics, politics, and metaphysics. It took, like I say, it took him 20 years to complete, and he wanted to make all that knowledge intelligible to what he referred to as the Latins. He was also an educator at Paris and Cologne. He was a Dominican provincial, and for a short while was the Bishop of Regensburg, where he would defend the mendicant orders and preach the crusade in Germany and Bohemia. He would then be named Doctor of the Church, and he's the patron of scientists and philosophers. St. Albert the Great, whose feast day we celebrate on November the 15th. Father?
Yeah, such an intellectual that his knowledge extended to mathematics, physics, astronomy, biology, chemistry, economics, politics, and ethics, as well as to philosophy and theology. And as you said, Kenny's greatest pupil was St. Thomas Aquinas. So Albert, he kind of builds the foundation, Eucharistic foundation, and Thomas Aquinas makes the edifice. But there's a beautiful saying in the Office of Readings today from Albert the Great. And I was just thinking, St. Gertrude, that her whole spiritual, that we're going to talk about next, her whole spirituality was on the liturgy. And this is liturgy. This comes from the Office of Readings. And it's just not the liturgy of the sacraments, but it's also the divine office, the liturgy of the hours, and this comes from the Office of Readings. But this is right from Albert the Great. He says this about that about the Last Supper, when our Lord said, do this. He starts with that. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. He says there's two things that should be noted here. The first really is a commandment. We're commanded to do this. It's not a suggestion, but a commandment. It's the sacrament. And the second one is like, do this. The second is that this sacrament commemorates the Lord's going to death for our sake. So, and even more than that, it's not only his death, it's also the resurrection. It's the Paschal mystery. It's the Mass is taking us not only to the cross, but beyond the cross, to the Father, to the banquet, to the heavenly banquet, where all the virtues are, where we receive so much, that embrace of our Heavenly Father, and that Jesus is the way. But do this, you know. Think of this. He says that, there's nothing more profitable than this. Nothing more pleasant than to do this. There's nothing more beneficial than to do this. The sacrament is profitable. It bestows the fullness of grace on us in this life. And his sanctification is in Christ's sacrifice, that he consecrates himself for our sakes, Ken. But there's nothing more pleasant, really. You know, you gave them bread from heaven, not the fruit of human labor, but a bread endowed with delight and pleasant to every sense of taste. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. This is the substance of yours that reveals your kindness towards your children, Father. And serving the desire of each recipient, it changes to suit each one's taste. And then, of course, he says also this, you could not have commanded anything more beneficial, for this sacrament is the fruit of the tree of life. The sacrament of the fruit of the tree of life. What just came to mind was that last night, Ken, when we had there were four priests, including myself, there at our Calyx Mass, and Father Paul Stenton did the homily, and at the end, he ended it very powerfully about the tree of life. It's the cross. We climb up on that cross. We're grafted to the cross with Jesus. That's where the fruit is. The fruit's always out on the limb. We make sacrifices first, and then it's love, and we're united with our Lord. It's the way to his heart. You know, we're going to suffer no matter what, but we can waste the suffering or offer it up and be one with him on the cross. So, you know, do this. It's a commandment, but it's also, it leads us to the sacrifice, but even more than that, Ken, beyond into the heavenly banquet, that this is really Jesus. These beautiful words. It's our Lord's last will and testimony. You know, take this. Eat it. Take this. Drink it. This is my body. This is my blood. This is, I think of those words, this is. Everything's already happened. You know, I think about, was it St. Faustina, when she was, I think it was, number 681. And in 681, it was, she was present at the Last Supper, and she saw Jesus take bread and wine, and he looks up to the Father. And as he looks up to the Father, he goes somewhere. There's a light on him she sees. And she realizes, as he offered himself, this is my body and blood, everything was all done there. And now everything will be carried out externally on Good Friday, Easter Sunday. But it was already there. He's ascended to the Father there, you know, at that death. He sent out the Spirit. There's so much mystery here. But yet, it's so powerful when we try to contemplate this, because we really come into a truth. Even though our mind doesn't understand things, we come into the reality of an experience of Jesus Christ. That's so powerful there. But that it really is the Lord, and everything's done there at the Last Supper. It's last will and testimony. Take this, eat it, drink this. This is my blood. Do this. It's a commandment. Ken, when I was on retreat, I sat with the women. It was the Sisters in Christ retreat, and I sat with the women to eat some of the meals. And I was talking to this one woman about the present moment, how we get into the present moment. And the present moment is where the mystery, the Paschal mystery is. So how we get in the present moment and stay there. And I said, you know, the children teach us the best about the present moment. And also Down syndrome children really teach it. And she told me a story I never forgot. I'll never forget it, and I'll use it again and again and again. It was about Down syndrome children. it came time, she was at her age for her first Holy Communion. And everybody was a little hesitant because the girl, just like little kids would do, if they taste something and they don't like the taste, they'll spit it out and say yuck or something. So they were afraid that if they let her receive communion, she may spit out the Blessed Sacrament. So they talked to the pastor, and the pastor said, no, who has a purer heart than this little girl, Down syndrome? And anyway, the first communion day comes, she gets up and she receives her communion. And as soon as she receives her communion, she turns around, she hollers out for her mother, Mommy, look, God in me, God in me. So that was so powerful. At the mouths of children come words of wisdom. You know, this first communion, Ken. I just came across something as I was looking for my notes, and I just want to end my part here, Ken. St. John Paul II. He's talking to the first Holy Communion children. So, dear first communicant, Jesus is coming to you in a new way today, in a special way. He wants to live in you. He wants to speak to you in your heart. He wants to be with you all through your day. Jesus comes to you in the Eucharist so that you will live forever. Holy Communion is not ordinary food. It is the bread of eternal life. It is something much more precious than gold or silver. It is worth more than anything you can imagine. For this sacred bread is the body and blood of Jesus. And Jesus promises that if you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you will have life in you and you will live forever and ever and ever. Pope St. John Paul II, Ken.
Amen. And he talked a bit about suffering and offering it up. And for folks, if you stick around the 5 o'clock hour, you'll learn how Charlene Richard did that, only 12 years old, and the priest who instructed her on how to offer it up. It's an interesting story. And the other thing was the importance of the Mass. I had an opportunity last Friday night that I was invited to a friend's house, and Ivan. Was there, and we prayed a rosary, and he had his time with the Blessed Mother. But the main takeaway, he spoke for a little bit after, and the main takeaway I got was that the Blessed Mother said that not to chase her, not to chase the apparitions and the seers, but to get the daily Mass. That's more important than her messages. And, it really resonated with me. And I know you've said it before about, we sometimes travel all over the world to visit, important Catholic sites, apparition sites, and that type of thing. But, it all comes back to the daily Mass, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, that it doesn't get any better than that. And that's what we hear from St. Albert the Great and Thomas Aquinas. And some people they'll spend all kinds of time and money chasing, and it's right here in your local church and available every day. In the 5:30 segment today, Susan Tassone's going to be on, and we're going to talk about a great opportunity to get two indulgences every day next year. And it's first time ever that's being made available by the church, and it has to do with going to Mass twice a day. And that's how important. So it's kind of honor God that you mentioned it, and then the Blessed Mother through Ivan the other night, and then in talking today, and just how important it is. And I know we talk about it a lot, and I've been mentioning it to more and more people. And we just see the difference that it makes in people's lives when they become daily communicants. And it doesn't mean that you get there every day, things come up and what have you. But when you make an effort, and now I've got a couple of guys that, they'll get in touch with me because they're getting upset when they're going to miss. Something's come up. Fortunately, there's masses, especially here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. There's hundreds of masses daily, probably beginning as early as 6 o'clock in the morning and going as late as 6 o'clock at night. You can find a mass, and the difference it makes. And I always go back when we talk about it, what you had told your brother Harry when he talked about making 90 12-step meetings in 90 days, and then you know, making 90 Holy Communions in 90 days. And it, especially people in recovery, they kind of smile and perk up when they hear that. And I would say it's just like what they tell you in the 12-step meetings. If, you know, give it a try for 90 days, and if it doesn't work, we'll gladly refund your misery. Or, you know, it does. It just makes a huge difference, and you know, we see it in the lives of the saints certainly, and you know, how blessed we are to be able to see it in the lives of many of the people we've gotten to know over the years.
You know, I was listening to what you were saying about, I've been there. You know, it's all Eucharistic, Ken. When I was over in Medjugorje, they were, the villagers were coming to the visionaries and saying, would you ask the Blessed Mother to make my uncle better? Would you ask him to make my son find a job? And they were having all these requests with Mary to bring to Jesus. And this is what the Blessed Mother said. Come with me together. We'll go together to my son. And once we're with her son, she backs off. She backs off. We're at our end. We're with Jesus. Her whole mission is to bring us to Jesus. Whole mission, you know, when you think her apparitions, is to, like, you know, build a church, and bring in the priest, bring in the altar, bring in the confessional, bring in the baptismal font, you know, bring in the tabernacle, bring in the real presence of Jesus. That's her whole mission. She's always pointing to Jesus and to go to him. But I just, since you brought that up, I just thought I would share that experience I had once again, Ken, at Medjugorje when I got there. Of course, the apparitions were taking place in the evening, which was interesting because Lourdes was at dawn and Fatima was at noon. Now it's in the evening. So anyway, I remember, like, shouldering my way through the crowd of people, and this one lady's, and you know, looking at me, and the priest comes out. And they were taking place in the rectory at the time. And the priest comes out and the steps of the rectory. He says, all the priests come. And I'm getting into the room. And this lady says, I've been here for 7 hours. This priest just got here and he's getting in the room. I felt real bad about that, but I was happy I was getting in the room. So there's about 20 people in the room. And they're praying the rosary in Croatian, some people in wheelchairs. And I was just happy to be in the room. I just stayed in the back. My back was against the wall. And they had a spotlight on the crucifix. And if you look at something with a spotlight on it and you close your eyes, you tend to see that image for a little bit. Well, I close my eyes and I'm seeing the image of the crucifixion, but it becomes alive. And all I could see is this image coming closer and closer and closer to me. And there's white light coming out of the side wound. And he gets right on top of me and he splits in half. One, the right side goes around me, and the left side goes around me. And I thought, man, is this morbid or what? You know, I've seen all this. And then after that happened, the priest came up and tapped me on the shoulder. He said, go up front. And it was just, it was Yaakov and who's the other? I forget the other name. It'll come to me. But Yaakov and the other visionary that was there wasn't Ivan. And I was right there next to them. And we're waiting for the Blessed Mother to come. And all of a sudden, I see them go down on their knees. And like they float down on their knees. And all I could do was close my eyes. It lasted about 90 seconds. And all it was peace. I had no images, no words. It was just, it was so glorious. It was like in the presence of God. And then the priest says, well, we're going to go to Mass. And we went over to Mass, and Icon celebrated the Mass. And when it came time to take the host, the big host of the priests that were broken in half, the image on my host was the image of the crucifixion broken in half, and it was like design lines of white light coming out of the side. And all I could hear was, this is Eucharistic, you know. Because our Protestant brothers and sisters think we pay too much attention to the Blessed Mother and devoted too much devotion to her. But nobody could be devoted to her more than Jesus. But that was, you know, the point was, it was all so Eucharistic, Ken. It's all about Jesus, his sacrifice, his Paschal mystery that we're baptized into, that we're made one, that we're grafted to the cross with him and beyond in the resurrection with our Heavenly Father. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood has eternal life. Whoever believes in me has eternal life. It's already begun. There's a down payment here. it's more to come for sure. It's already, but not yet. But it's all Eucharistic, Ken.
Amen. All right, we already hit the bottom of the hour, so we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your phone calls in order to make that happen. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll-free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers on the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And a quick rundown on the Calyx units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We meet every Tuesday, Father and I and a bunch of others, in the Grace Ferry neighborhood at our Matt Talbot Chapel, the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street. We get started at 6 o'clock p.m. with a short adoration period, followed by Mass and then a Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, we head over to St. Gabriel's Church, and we did that last night. As Father mentioned, it was a beautiful night. Four priests there to hear confession, three on the altar. Father McKay took a break last night, but we want to thank Father Paul Stenson, Father Brian Connolly, and Father Michael Shea, who become regulars with us down at our Grace Ferry Calyx meeting. The third Tuesday in December will be December 17th. Again, we'd like to see more people there. It's open to everybody. We pray for those that are in recovery, those that are still struggling with addiction, and most importantly, the people that love them. You know, so all family members, I don't know anybody today that doesn't know somebody that's struggling with addiction. So why don't you plan to join us on Tuesday, December 17th at St. Gabriel's Church. On that night, it's again, it starts at 6 with a holy hour, confessions available, and then Mass at 7 o'clock. The Unit of Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be tomorrow evening, November the 21st. The Glenside unit at St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of the month. We just met this past Saturday. So we'll get together on Saturday, December 21st, right before Christmas. The unit out at St. Joseph of the Hills Retreat House in Malvern meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have 4 o'clock Mass followed by refreshments and a meeting. They just met this past Sunday, so they'll be meeting even closer to Christmas, Sunday. It'll be the 15th. December the 15th will be the third Sunday, so they'll meet before our third Saturday group next month. And the unit St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will meet this coming Saturday, November the 24th. Those are the Calyx meetings here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And again, phone numbers 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll free 888-343-2484. And we're going to go to the mayor of Wrong line. The mayor of Northeast Philadelphia, Frank.
I'm the mayor.
You're the mayor.
Backwards. Father Doug's the mayor of Grays Ferry or Southwest. I get all mixed up, whatever. I'm just a sober guy in Mayfair, that's all.
So are you St. Matt's Parish?
We're the ones that's a step above St. Matt's, St. Timothy's.
All right. No, I was just wondering because my wife's working over at St. Matt's now.
In Philadelphia?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. When I was in grade school, we played basketball. We used to get T-shirts. Beat Matt's, we called it.
There you go. What's going on?
Around 10:04, I just turned on Relevant Radio. And
who?
Come on, I'm being serious now, seriously.
All right.
Father Shea, he's a regular contributor on Relevant Radio. He texted Andrew Mariani. I don't know what happened. He said his father's being taken to the hospital. They may have to take his foot. And that's all I know about. So people pray for Father Shea's father that they're able, whatever happened, to save the foot. That's all.
Yeah. I don't know that it's the Father Shea from Philadelphia.
No.
Yeah, because Father Shea that comes with us is 85. But I'm wondering if it's Monsignor James Shea that's out at University of Mary in North Dakota. He's a pretty popular guy, especially after the Eucharistic Congress. But in any event, keep him in. We know that his name is Mr. Shea, so you can certainly we can certainly pray for him.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Drew just said his father's up there in his age, so
yeah.
I mean, any age to lose a foot, you know, it doesn't matter. But
no.
I mean, just keep him. But also, my mother was on the phone. But I called Captain Lou, the mayor of Packer Park. I forget. I gave him too many titles. I forget his name now.
There you go.
Not that long ago, Ken and Father Doug, well, actually it was more than a couple of years ago, Captain Lou was giving me a call to turn yous on when I was drunk all the time. I'm so drunk, I can't keep count. But I mean, maybe I've been listening to you as many days now sober as I was drinking. I don't know. When I was drinking, I always forgot what happened because I was a blackout drinker. So I can't tell you what you talked about before. But
yeah.
Now I'm sober, and I still forget.
Nah, that's all right. But it's been a crazy road, and I'm glad that we got to be a part of it.
I know. Both of you guys, Captain Lou, and everyone out there, seriously. There's Father Steve who passed away. He was FOP chaplain. He helped me a lot, too, Father Stephen Wetzel. His main guy was Padre Pio. Yeah. He loved Padre Pio, Father Steve. Father Doug, the last couple of times I called in, you always asked me something, but I already hang up. Do you want to tell me something before I hang up?
the only thing that came to mind was Padre Pio, Frank. Pray, hope, and don't worry. All right?
Yes.
That's the word from the Lord through Padre Pio to you. Pray, hope, and don't worry.
Father Steve always said that to me all the time. Frank, yeah. I would argue with him in a nice way because I was struggling with my drinking there. He kept talking. He helped me a lot, Father Steve. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
You guys are great.
Yeah,
tour,
I only met him once, Frank. I met him once, and I felt like I knew him for my whole life.
Hey, Father Doug, about 2 months before he passed, he had sciatica real bad for like 5 years, I think. He tried two chiropractors, two MDs, One MD made it worse with a given needle, made it worse. I told him the guy I used, he said, Frank, he kept putting it off. Like, he didn't want to do it. He was fed up. I kept pushing him. Finally, he did it. About 2-3 months before he passed away, he had relief. The first time he saw him, by the third time he saw him, he was gone and never came back. And then 3 months later, whatever happened, low sugar or something like that, he went in a coma and then ended up passing. But at least a couple of months at the end, he didn't have sciatica no more. So I'm happy with that. But thanks again, guys. I appreciate it. And go, Captain. Oh, beat Mel. Oh, Ken, your daughter, you said the same?
My wife. My wife.
Your wife? Oh, your wife?
Yeah.
Don't you live outside the city?
Yeah. Yeah. We're not afraid to come into the city, though.
Does she have armed guards from Captain Lou?
Nah, it's all good, brother.
It's a rough town here.
Yeah. Always good to hear from you, brother. Thanks for the call. You too.
Thank you.
God bless, Frank.
All the lines are open except the one Father's on. If you want to give us a call, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. You got an Otter Godfather?
Yeah, no, I don't, Ken. Yeah. I don't know if I shared that one Otter God last week. I kind of thought maybe I did, but maybe I'll mention it again. If you remember when we were at Malvern there, and I was supposed to bless the cross on Monday, and we were all there, and then we had the ceremony, And then they asked if I would give the talk, and then we would do the blessing. But after the ceremony, it was that the workers there were making noise, and it would take maybe an hour. So people started to leave, and we were down to like a handful of people because the kids had to go back to school. And all of a sudden, the Spirit just said, don't bless the cross now. Bless it on Saturday that the retreatants will be there. And most of the retreatants was from the Petrangolo family, who actually did all the work, the cranes and all, put it into place. And I said, boy, was that our God. And Mr. Joseph Petrangolo was there. And what a man. I was able to see him. They all came back on Saturday. We were there. We did the blessing. It was really, it was just so powerful, you know, the people. You just felt the Holy Spirit come upon us. And one of the things that happened, too, when I turned, we had the incense and holy water, I turned around and blessed the cross. It was a little windy. And the pages blew open. I didn't realize it. They went to another blessing. Here I'm blessing a church. And then I caught myself, and I lost the place, so I start to improvise the blessing. But then I thought, was it the devil that blew the pages over, or was the Holy Spirit saying, someday this is going to be a church? You know, who knows? But Otter God experiences was there that we thought we were going to bless it on Monday, and we blessed it on Saturday with all the retreatants, which was much better to do it with the retreatants at Malvern. So that's pretty much my honor, God.
Yeah. And I mentioned mine already. We'll be talking about it more in the 5 o'clock hour with Jim Valoy. You know, this Charlene Marie Richard, who I never heard of until he got in touch with me and asked if we had any interest in talking about her on the radio. You know, and this is a 12-year-old girl that, like Carlo Acutis, once diagnosed with leukemia, she passed away within a couple of weeks, and they estimate that some 10,000 people visit her grave every year down in Louisiana. So as I was reading her story, it was just kind of eerie how similar it was to Carlo, even though she had died back in 1959. So if you want to learn about her, be sure to stick around at 5 o'clock today.
Yeah, I want to pick up something you said about that I often would say. I don't have to go to Medjugorje. I don't have to go anywhere, Lourdes or Fatima, because the Blessed Mother is just as present here, and so is Jesus in all the tabernacles of the world. So people would come up to me and say, have you ever been in Medjugorje? I said, no, not really. And it just kept happening. And one day it was like three people came up. And I said, Lord, if somebody asks me to go to Medjugorje and pays my way, because I don't have the money, pays my way, I'm going. Hmm. And somebody came up and said, Father, you want to go to Medjugorje? I'll pay your way. And when I got there that first night, the priest came out and said, all the priests, because the priests are invited here by the Blessed Mother herself. And I really felt that Mary invited me there to Medjugorje. Why? To bring the message back to the people that, you know, that peace that I experienced in Medjugorje, Ken, it was all people from all different nations. We didn't know the languages. you know, but it was the human language, the smile, the wave, you know, just the peace. And I remember taking off, leaving Medjugorje in the jet, and it was like, I didn't want to leave.
Mm.
I said, why can't this be everywhere in the whole world?
Yeah.
You know, we're loving one another, all people, all nations, we're together. But that was even more powerful than my vision. It was like, you know, just being together, like a Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming upon us all. But all, again, Ken, about the sacrifice of the Mass. And you're like, last night was good, too, you know, the three priests at the altar. And I did sit in the pew, you know, and it was good to be with the faithful and just receive and relax, you know. But looking up and looking around everybody, I sat in the back. I was leading the singing.
Yeah.
But I always felt that, you know, as a priest, I don't take my priesthood on and off with my vestments, you know. I'm pursuing the Christi wherever I'm at and whatever I'm doing. I'm always a priest.
Amen.
I will always be one, Ken.
Yeah. No, I know what you that feeling you talked about when you were in Medjugorje. I've had that a few times when Pope Francis was here back in 2015, and you know, a couple hundred thousand people on the parkway, and it's like you want to, you know, call a company and have them bring in truckloads of cinder block and build a wall around it and live there forever. We kind of had that on Friday night for a little while. You know, there's about 50 people there and, you know, like-minded, and it's like, why can't it be this way all the time? And, you know, I had an honor guide with involved in Medjugorje. I wasn't there, but my in-laws were there in July of 87. So this is early on. I think it started in 81. And when my mother-in-law was there, she took a piece of paper and wrote three names on it, my wife's name and two of her girlfriends. The three of them were about 28 years old, and none of them were dating anybody at the time. And within 3 months, I think it was 3 months of her placing that piece of paper under the rock, Sue and I met the following month, and the two other girls that were on there met their future husbands, and we've all been married over 30 years now. So I've asked Sue a number of times about going to Medjugorje, and I don't need to go. And sometimes I wonder, you know, if she's still happy that the Blessed Mother put me in her life, because I thought she really was thankful that she wanted to make the trip to thank the Blessed Mother there. But like we say, she can thank her from anywhere. We don't have to travel halfway around the world in order to thank them.
Right. There's a place and time for God, Ken. Every place and all the time.
Amen.
And when you say, you don't want to leave, we're just in the present moment. You know, we're with God and God's with us. And that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
I just wanted to end with the Eucharist. And you were at the Mass, it was last Thursday. Like, I like to do the Mass if there's no saint of the day. I like to do the Mass for the Eucharist on Thursdays. And I shared this about Genevieve Owens, about, you know, when I was at Little Sisters of the Poor. And these women, they're so powerful with faith. You know, they just would love coming to chapel. They didn't go anywhere else, you know. They would just come to chapel and spend time with our Lord. But at this particular Mass, which Genevieve Owens and her son, Monsignor Owens, he passed away. And Joe Owens, her other son, was the one who did the article in the Wilmington paper, the dialogue about the cross that was planted in Malvern. And the Catholic Philly took that article with permission from him to put it in the Catholic Philly. But all these relationships, you know, it's all connections. But this was his mother at the home, and Genevieve had gone into a coma for weeks on end, and we didn't think she was going to come out. And she came out of this coma, and I start calling her Lazaria. You know, and she was at Mass one day, and she passed away not too long after this particular Mass. But I wrote it down, you know, when I wrote my Heaven's Homecoming book, I would write down these experiences and make sure I had them exactly the way I wanted it. So I went back to my room after that Mass and wrote down these words. Bring in Genevieve Holy Communion. I said, Body of Christ. She was wide awake, and she took my hand and guided it to her lips. She kissed the sacred host. And I said, No, Jen, it's the body of Christ. Open your mouth. And she said, I know, Father, who he is. And she kissed him again. And I said, Stick out your tongue. And I stuck out my tongue to imitate her childlessness. And sticking out my tongue, I held the host close to her lips, hoping she'd open her mouth. And then she kissed the host again, a third time. giving me a radiant smile. So I gave up and then went back, and I was waiting for Sister Mary Frances to come back from bringing Holy Communion to the sick in her room. And I thought, let me try one more time. And I went down, and I went, Jen, the body of Christ. And she said, Amen, Father, and thank you. And I had, my reflection was this. I believe that she really saw Jesus in his risen life. She didn't see the host and have to say, Father, I know who he is. How can I swallow him? You know. And then when she could see the host again, when I went down the last time, she would see the host and give me that big, big smile and say, Amen, thank you, Father. But these little ones, you know, when they're coming closer to see God, because she didn't have many days left after that, but the Lord was really revealing himself more and more to her and to us all around. And I can tell these beautiful stories, you know, about their Eucharistic love and faith in Jesus. And I won't go into too many more stories, Ken, but I wrote the book, Heaven's Homecoming, with all these Eucharistic stories. But I just wanted to share that one about Genevieve Owens.
Amen. Well, you said...
Talking about St. Albert the Great, and do this.
Yeah.
Take
yeah.
this. Eat this. It's really me, Jesus says.
Yeah. And we said that Jesus is everywhere and all the time, and let's see if he's alive and well in Fruitland Park, Florida. Hello, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, brother. How are you?
Good. I have to apologize to you for calling in so late. I'm trying to fix my hot water heater, and my neighbor was over here helping me. And I couldn't get rid of them. You know? And I tell my sister, these old people drive me crazy. She says, you are these old people.
Yeah, yeah. So what's going on? What's new?
Well, I got good news today from Mike McLaughlin. He's got spring training tickets for the Red Sox. So that's February 25th, you know. So I'm looking forward to that. But I wanted to ask you about this upcoming feast. Tomorrow, I guess it is, Presentation of the Blessed Virgin?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the third mystery of the third joyful mystery is a presentation of the child Jesus in the temple, but isn't that actually like the purification of Mary after 40 days in the old Jewish custom? I mean, they confuse me with all these presentations.
Rosary, Bob, it's the mystery of the presentation of our Lord in the temple. This is the presentation of the Blessed Mother herself in the temple.
Yeah. Right, but that's what that's it. The third joyful mystery is titled
Fourth.
The Presentation of the Infant Jesus in the Temple. And that's when Simeon comes, you know, and declares him to be the, you know, now he can die in peace. But the thing is that
that's Jesus.
Even though they're presenting Jesus in the temple, isn't that also the purification of Mary after 40 days after birth?
Yeah, no. I know what you're talking about, but I'll be honest. I don't know if it's the same
right.
at the same time
right.
or not. If there's a purification ritual that took place at the same time that Jesus was presented at the temple,
right, because he was also there 8 days after his birth, right, for the circumcision,
right.
But Simeon's not mentioned at that time.
No. Yeah. No, you may be right. You may be right. But I know with the Blessed Mother, and so tomorrow's kind of a special day for me. It was November 21st, 1997, when I made my consecration to Jesus through Mary with the Knights of Immaculata.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, and I've shared with some people. I shared it again for those that have my Substack account. They're probably aware of it. I never understood why how the Immaculate Conception couldn't be one of the mysteries of the Rosary.
So I
created I call them the five prevenient mysteries. So these are the five mysteries before Jesus came. And so it was the Immaculate Conception, which is, you know, Mary's being conceived, not Jesus being conceived. So the Immaculate Conception,
exactly.
The Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary,
right,
and then Mary is a temple virgin because she would go to live in the temple for about 10 years, and then fifth one would be her betrothal to Saint Joseph.
Right.
So,
right.
And not official mysteries of the Rosary, but every once in a while I'll pray those prevenient mysteries.
I like those. I like those.
Yeah.
When they first came out with the Luminous Mysteries, I go, wait a minute. But I love those.
Yeah.
I came to love those, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you call it? Prevenient?
Prevenient. Yeah, so they come before.
Yeah. I like that.
Well, maybe when I doubt I'll get to have an audience with Pope Francis, but maybe the next Pope, I can fill him in and maybe he'll adopt him.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, I just wanted to check in.
All right, brother.
You haven't received a package from me yet?
Father, when he called in before we got started with the show, he let me know it arrived today. So we'll take a look at it tomorrow morning when I get there.
Sure. Yeah. Very good.
All right.
No problem.
All right,
yep.
Brother.
That damn post office is supposed to be, priority mail is supposed to be 2-day delivery. And it's been like almost 5 days.
I ran into the same thing with some stuff I sent to Chicago a couple of weeks ago. Post office is usually pretty good every once in a while.
Yeah.
So, all right, brother. Well, thanks for the call. Right. We certainly appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
All right. The clock on the wall says 4:56, so we got about 3 minutes, Father.
Well, just to really sum up Albert the Great there, you know, when he was coming towards the end of his life, Ken, his spirituality really took off at the end of his life. And it wasn't until he put down his pen, he said, when he really started to really have even mystical experiences. Sort of like Thomas Aquinas, when he would have that mystical experience that was so deep and profound. You know, Aquinas would say, you know, burn it all, it's all straw. And he wouldn't write anything after that. and with Albert the Great, it was like he started to lose, I think, maybe coming senility or whatever. But I often think that these mystics, when they spent hours in prayer, with the Blessed Sacrament. Thomas Aquinas, after then, would come and put his head on the tabernacle for hours. You know, he speaks about the Paschal Mystery, Aquinas, so beautifully, you know, about looking at the cross, that when we're looking for something, just behold the cross of Jesus. You want patience? Look at his patience on the cross. You want purity? You want love? You know, whatever you want, look, gaze upon that cross. 5 minutes of devotion on the cross of Jesus is worth more than all the other devotions, because it's bringing us over into that contemplative dimension where we're just at peace and being filled by God Himself. So, you know, with I think as they, morning and night, saints, they have these contemplative time periods, and they lead this way. They go into a particular place, just like John Paul II, when I saw him, when I was carrying the cross back in 79 for him, we had to lead him into the cathedral. He went right to the tabernacle, and he knelt down. He went to a different place for 10 minutes. You know, he was in heaven. And I think when these mystics come out of that, they begin to lose their memory, because, you know, they forget the world and everything in the world because they're in heaven. And they come out, and they're trying to remember again. So I don't know about if that happened to, you know, Albert the Great. But it wasn't until he put his pen down that he started really having his mystical experiences. You know, it was beyond his writing, his intellect, because that's not the way to God. The way to God is through faith. A little child can have it. You don't have to have degrees or anything. You don't have to be a scripture scholar. Little children, you know, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, with Albert the Great, I took that home, you know, Ken, that sometimes we got to drop the means, you know, put down the Bible, the rosaries, the devotions, and sit and be still and know his presence and know God. That's where everything happens. That's where we receive the virtues, the graces. That's where we receive Jesus the most. Now I can go out and give Jesus. St. Bernard, you know, first we must become reservoirs before we become channels of God's grace. So I take that Psalm 46, you know, sit and be still. And receive. That's real sanctity. It's not our doing. It's letting God do now. That's contemplation. That's the difference between meditation, what I do, and contemplation, what God does with me. Anyway, I know we're coming to the end.
Yep. Need your blessing, Father. Yep. Get your blessing?
Yeah. How about, you know, there was a few people in my mind, like Pat Ireland, Harry Pyle, my sister Peggy, and all the intentions of our listeners there. Let's put them all together as the Lord listens to us all, always and everywhere. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this hour on the airways and for working through us and touching the hearts of your people. We just ask that you bless the intentions of our hearts, all of our loved ones, all those who are sick and suffering, especially with addictions, Lord. And set us free. Set us free with that mercy, that peace and joy that the world can't give us or even take away. And bless us all right now through your priests. Father Douglas Michael, real good. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Mary, St. Joseph, and all the angels and saints.
Pray for us.
All
right.
The Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks, Father. Our guest, 5 o'clock guest, is already on the line. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking about Charlene Marie Richard. Don't go away.